Well, after a long, long period of downtime, we're ready for some fun. We're ready to get this party started. We've got a great, and I underline that five times, a great show for you today. We're going to sit down with Brian Baldinger, who last week visited us and, you know, wearing the bandana, totally laid back, having a great off season. Last week he spoke about, of course, Peyton Manning, which I'm going to get into in just a moment here. And but we have a bigger picture to talk about. What do the Eagles need to do in this offseason to get back into serious Super Bowl contention? That is the topic with Brian Baldinger. We're also going to have John Dorenbos stop by the studio. John Dorenbos, one of 20 current and former players picked for the Hollywood Boot Camp. Find out what that's all about. Will Bunch, a writer, political writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, has written a fascinating book called Give It to Steve. It's a Kindle single. And we're going to interview him, talk to him about things. I really love this read. I encourage it for every Eagles fan to check it out. And then we're going to bring in Adam Kaplan in just a few moments here. He's going to bring us up to speed on everything. Always a popular man here with the Eagles fans. Let's take a look at the headlines, though, once again. And free agency, of course, begins at 4 p.m. tomorrow. I missed the Midnight Madness, I admit it. But it'll be 4 p.m. Madness. Although, listen, guys, and we've kind of been telling you this the whole offseason, do not expect a lot. Why? Well, look, the Eagles are $9.6 million under the salary cap. Now, that does include, it does include the DeSean Jackson number. But when you consider looking to re-sign players potentially, like LeSean McCoy, like Trent Cole, like Todd Harriman's, I mean, there's just not a lot of money there. You can create money. You know, you're going to find out what the Eagles do with Asante Samuel, etc. Eagles are going to have to put a tag, if they decide to, on Antonio Dixon. That's going to take up a lot of money. They're going to have to sign their draft picks. That's going to take $3.5 million. The Eagles are going to leave money aside in case there are injuries. So you get the idea. There's just not a lot of money to spend in free agency. But we'll see how creative the Eagles are. They always are. Howie Roseman, Andy Reid upstairs. DeSean Jackson has yet to sign his franchise tender. Now that the salary cap number has been established at $120.6 million. He may very well do that soon. Or the Eagles may try to work out a long-term deal and decrease that cap hit for 2012. Tomorrow begins really the two most exciting months of maybe the offseason, certainly the offseason, because in a month and a half, the NFL draft rolls around. We've got full coverage starting on April 25th. We will take your phone calls today, 215-339-6709. Let's get a quick call in here before we bring in Adam Kaplan. Herb in Philadelphia joins us. Hi, Herbie.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Okay, I just wanted to actually beat up on you a little bit.
Okay.
I think the way you approach things about that Jeffrey Lurie was unhappy and therefore the Eagles, when they do things, have to take that into account.
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Well, like their first-round pick would have to be able to play a lot.
That has nothing to do with Jeffrey Lurie being happy. It has to do with a team that has to win this year.
Well, you want to win every year.
Yeah, but you don't come into a season. The Eagles have not won a playoff game since 2008, right?
Yes.
2009, 2010, 2011. Jeffrey Lurie goes up and has a press conference and talks about how 2011 was the most disappointing season in his time here as an owner.
Yeah, but you can't.
You don't think that puts you're drafting 15th in the first round.
Because if it puts pressure on you and you're running scared or timid or desperate,
well, I'm not saying
you got rid of the coach.
Well, that's not the point. The point is you've got definitive holes here. I'm not saying the player has to come in and start in the first round, but the player better contribute as a rookie.
Well,
you're not going to draft a quarterback.
You get a terrific player.
Okay. Like who?
Let's say Trent Richardson.
Okay, Trent Richardson's going to play.
Okay, but suppose they rate him. I'm not saying that this is something that will be done or should be done, but suppose they rate him as top five or top eight.
Sure.
And he drops to them at 15, and he's by far the best there is out there for them, in their estimation.
Fine.
Don't you have to take the guy?
Yeah.
Whether he's going to play a lot or not.
Now, but Herb, if you go out in free agency and sign a backup running back.
Yes.
You still going to take Trent Richardson? Now,
if you rate him like that, yes. If it's a close call,
okay.
If there's several players in the same area, then it doesn't make a lot of difference. But if there's somebody that's outstanding, way above where everybody else is, you have to take him just because of the talent, because you don't know what's going to be in 2 or 3 years.
That is fine.
You know what I mean? I don't want to think like, oh, I got to do it now. The draft isn't all now. Some of it's
okay,
now.
Okay, wait, well, let me pose this scenario at you. You trade out of the first round. You take Brandon Weeden in the second round, quarterback from Oklahoma State. You happy with that? Is that making you a better team this year? I'm just asking a question.
If they think it's the best deal, although he's kind of old, isn't he?
I'm just throwing out a name.
Yeah, okay. Suppose they do that. Okay, well, if they do it, if it's a better, if they think they have to balance the present and the future. Now, the present means more, of course, but they have to balance all that, and if that's the right thing to do to them, then that's what they have to do. They can't be afraid not to do that.
Herb, I have never, and the Eagles just don't operate. They don't operate as conservatively. They're not a conservative organization, despite what some people believe.
In free agency, or they'll go, they will go up in the draft, or they will do what they think is necessary. When it, even if it's a big risk, and that's what they're supposed to do.
Right. So I'm fine with. I've never subscribed to. I'm not sure what you're trying to beat me up about.
Well, I think you're putting a lot of emphasis on that. They haven't done well last year or two.
But they haven't. I mean,
that doesn't.
It's a big year for Andy Reid. I mean, your owner. Look, I am the biggest Andy Reid fan out there. I want the Eagles to win every game. But I'm not dumb, okay? And I'm not going to throw smoke up your rear ends. The Eagles have to have a good season. I'm not going to say what happens if they don't have a good season. I don't know that answer.
But what I'm saying is you can't let that influence your decision. You can't. That's being afraid or being timid or
you're always going to try. You're doing everything you can to win this year and to not necessarily quote mortgage your future. We'll get into the whole
RG3 move. You should treat this year no different than any other year.
Well,
because if that's true, then your philosophy's wrong.
Yeah, but I agree with that, and I don't think they're going to treat this. Now, I will tell you, and Herb, thanks for the call. To me, last year they saw a special opportunity to go out. To go out and sign a bunch of guys. Okay, they had an opportunity to go out and sign a bunch of guys. They did that 8-8 record. You learn from that. You have to. The Eagles are not going out and signing a bunch of guys this year. They just don't have that kind of cap room. Anyway, we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about Peyton Manning. We're going to talk about the big trade with the Rams and the Redskins. And we're going to find out maybe just a little shred of what can the Eagles do in free agency. Adam Kaplan joins us in studio. Get your questions ready in just a moment. The Philadelphia Eagles invite you to experience Lincoln Financial Field like never before through an exclusive tour of one of the premier stadiums in the NFL. This unique backstage journey through the stadium will feature the Comcast press box, broadcast booth, club and suite levels, Eagles home interview room, locker room, and the field. Call 267-570-4510 or visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com for more information.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, Make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
This reminds me of a scene in that movie. Oh, man, what's it called?
I don't know.
No, you know, it's the rookie cop, the veteran cop duo. It's like us, partner.
Just because you get way more movies with Xfinity On Demand doesn't mean you always have to rub it in.
Oh, duck!
Sorry.
Ditch satellite for the most on demand. Experience Xfinity. Sign up for this great offer today. Call 1-800-XFINITY.
Seen the signs on the passers-by, something's got to give. Can't be free, but it's good for me. But this good thing comes along, and I can't deny too long. I need you to save me.
I need you to save me free.
Geico, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Download the Eagles mobile app for the latest news, videos, stats, and more. Available now for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry devices. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/mobile for more. We welcome you into the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by SiriusXM NFL Radio's Adam Kaplan once again back with us here. Adam, on the eve of NFL free agency. I don't expect a whole lot to happen with the Eagles, but I just love this time of year.
Yeah, and first of all, I heard you in the last segment say that you liked it at midnight more.
I did.
Why?
It was just a little...
Would it be up to like...
It's just a little midnight madness pageantry kind of
Not
thing.
Not that I won't the first couple nights be up to the wee hours of the morning, but... Yeah, it's a different deal here. There's no question about it around the National Football League. But here's what I like, though. Putting it at 4 o'clock gets everyone, you know, at any time zone you're in, you're going to be awake. You're going to be ready for it, no matter what team you're a fan of. So it's kind of a little brave new world, and lots going on today. We're seeing teams restructured by the minute. The Lions just restructured 3 contracts. They're not only are they under the cap, they want to get so far under the cap that they could re-sign some of their key free agents.
Including Stephen Tulloch.
Stephen Tulloch.
Right.
Right.
So first, let's back up here and talk about a couple of issues this weekend. The Rams and the Redskins make a deal. The Rams trading the second pick in April. They receive the 6th pick from the Redskins, a second-round draft pick, and then future first-round picks in 2013, 2014. The idea is to go up and get that man, Baylor quarterback Robert Griffin III, your analysis of the deal.
Yeah, I mean, this is a quarterback league. You would never do anything close to this had it not been another position. But this is the quarterback that everybody likes other than Andrew Luck. He's had a remarkable run here. He'll throw at his pro day. I mean, this guy's a big-time talent, and Mike Shanahan is desperate for a quarterback. He didn't have one last season. He wants to end this with getting the guy that he could build around, but they've got a lot of work to do. Once they get the quarterback, they got to build that offensive line, which is bad and had a lot of injuries. They need wide receivers. They need some more pass rushers. They've got some key free agents unsigned, so they've got a lot of work to do, and they're not going to have a lot of picks here, especially early. So the bottom line is they're getting their guys, and Robert Griffin III, who's a big-time talent, who's got the best arm for the 2012 NFL draft.
Yeah, he's certainly passed all of the litmus tests here leading up to the draft, Adam, and a lot of pressure. A coach who's probably in his last job, a team that hasn't won in a long time, they're always I expect them to. They've got a lot of cap room. I mean, I expect them to really make a lot of moves in free agency.
And they have a lot of cap space. Yeah. As one executive was telling me last night, we were talking about the trade. He said, this buys Shanahan a couple of years. You just can't let Shanahan do this. He makes calls and personnel and then fire him the next season, no matter how badly they do. You just can't do it. So, yeah, I think this probably buys Shanahan a couple of years. And I agree with you, David. This is probably going to be his last deal. I mean, with his last team. I just look at the way that things ended in Denver and the way they're going to Washington. Could someone really go out for Shanahan? If he gets fired, we'll see. But we're not even there yet.
Do you like this deal for the Redskins?
I get it. Yes, because it solves it. Now, listen, you can't. You and I have talked about this on your show for years. You can't evaluate things like this for at least, I would say, till a third year to see the way. If he looks like he's their guy for the future after he plays well, then it's worth it. But if he doesn't play at an exceptional level, you pretty much early on, you're going to start wondering. And then in the third year, when you really evaluate this, he better be where they think he's going to be. And I think he's got to play, by the way, year one. I think you have to do that. When you're trading up for this guy, you're giving away two future firsts. I think he's got to play his first year. I don't think there's any question about it. And they can get a journeyman backup just to fill in if he's not ready.
Okay. Then there's the whole Peyton Manning situation. And yeah. It is reportedly down to maybe three teams here, the Broncos, the Cardinals, the Dolphins. Your opinion of what happens here?
I'll be honest with you. I talked to a couple Bronco players that I'm very friendly with, and who they're all excited about it. They want to, and they like Tebow, but when you could get a guy like Peyton Manning, I think you go after it. And John Elway, being a former first-rounder, Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl winner, Peyton's got one Super Bowl. I think they probably form a quick relationship out there. I know they spent a lot of time together. I think they've got to be the favorite right now. I think the Cardinals, they have cap issues, although they could restructure a bunch of contracts, release some players, and get under it. The Cardinals have a bad offensive line. The Broncos is better. I think the Cardinals have a little bit better defense. If you match up personnel, Dave, I really believe that the Cardinals, in some respects, are better. But I think that you look at the situation with John Elway there, I think that's got a lot of weight. And I think Denver's in the driver's seat here. Now, with Miami, you want to get him in for a visit. If Peyton's has a house there in the area. I'm shocked that he has not visited yet. And, in fact, I guess there was a report that said he might not visit, which is crazy.
You know, I got to talk. I wrote about this last night. And I think that the talk of, and Brian Baldinger brought it up last week, and I respect him very much, and I respect Ray Didinger and the likes very much. But to suggest that Michael Vick should be cast aside and Peyton Manning should be brought in here and that the Eagles have to go after Peyton Manning, it's the right thing. It is so illogical on so many fronts. Guy hasn't thrown a football. Eagles don't have any cap room. You're going to rock the boat again in such a critical year. You're just ignoring the talent that is Michael Vick. I mean, I just don't see it having any logic at all.
Dave, here's why it can't happen. Vick's
not can't. It, no, we know it can't, but shouldn't. It shouldn't be discussed. It makes no sense.
I think, had this been 2013, when Vick's contract is not fully guaranteed, it's fully guaranteed this season at $12.5 million, you can't do it. You would have to then figure out a way to move Vick. You can't cut him because he's still at $12.5 million. I think it's a fascinating discussion for another year, but unfortunately it's not going to happen. I mean, people could talk about it all they want. I personally guarantee you it's not going to happen.
Right, so. So the Eagles have $9.6 million in cap room.
Yeah, and what it is I got the breakdown this morning. I have a similar figure that ProFootballTalk.com has. I'm about $500,000 difference there, but it's just they had a carryover the Eagles had of just over $10.9 million. They had a couple cap credits that put them over $11 million as a credit for the season. However, you subtract Jackson's $9.5 million franchise number. You don't have a lot of money. I have them. I mean, I've got them for about $10.1 and Florio's got $9.6. So we're in the same ballpark. You don't have a lot of money. I thought you did a good breakdown of what they could possibly do.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah. Then. I mean, and I'll add a couple things here, Dave. My understanding is they're okay with a cap number. It will not get up. I checked on it. What happened is he had to hit a sack escalator he had had seven sacks or more to hit on an escalator. He didn't do that, so he's still going to be on the cap for $2.575 million. That's not a bad cap figure. You and I have talked about Asante Samuel here. Okay, let's talk about this for a second. 9.4 million base salary, 10.5 number cap number.
Cap number.
I just don't see how you bring him back at that number, being that you've got Rogers Cromartie who's got to play.
So if you, what are your options then with Asante?
You could restructure.
Okay.
If you restructure, that means you want him back. Okay, let's make that perfectly clear. If you don't want him back, or you want to see what's out there, you try to move him, which we know it's been reported about a year ago, or actually after the lockout last year, that the Eagles had talks with the Lions, or you release him. Now, the good thing is he's very little accelerated signing bonus money, so the cap impact is not significant if you cut him, and he has a couple of years left. And he signed through 2013, and the cap number for net 13 is even more. So you got it. Again, I've been beating this drum. I think you got to look to do something here, but I'm not the one who makes the decision. The front office will make
if
that
you,
decision.
If you trade him, there's no accelerated cap hit.
Very little. There's not a lot.
And the same with if you were to release him.
It's pretty much the same. It's not a lot. Winston Justice, Dave.
Yeah.
My understanding is probably this, that they're going to look to either restructure or lessen his cap number. Dave, his cap number is $4.2 million for a backup. Now, he would be there right now, based on the contracts,
he's
their top swing tackle.
Yeah.
They don't have and he could also play guard.
Yeah.
They don't have a backup guard right now.
Yeah.
So they may want to bring him back, but not that cap number. His base salary is $3.225 million. So I think they would look to lower that and save a couple million. We know about Colin Jenkins' cap number being reduced from 7.5 to 5.825 million.
So potentially the Eagles could be in excess of 18, 19 million, even more.
On Samuel, yes. If you do Justice, restructure him, save a couple million, plus Samuel, you could probably save the about 7 million for this season. So yeah, absolutely. You can get around 20 million. Sure.
It's Eagles Live here. Dave Spadaro, Adam Kaplan. Let's take some phone calls. Hector in Puerto Rico wants to talk about Peyton Manning. Hey, Hector.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good morning.
Good.
A big fan, man.
Thank you.
I'm actually the only fan here in Puerto Rico, man. I get beat by a lot of Giants fans when I watch the game at place. I'm not going to mention the name. But, where are the fans in Puerto Rico, man?
Well,
let's help.
Hey, Puerto Rican Eagles fans, let's go. Get up.
Come on, man.
Hector needs some help.
Yeah, I'm all alone, man. They beat me up really bad, and this year it was bad.
Well, hey,
I mean this, I got kicked so much. I mean,
hey Hector, you know what? We're gonna forget about last year. Let's talk about this year.
You want
to talk about Peyton Manning?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Peyton Manning and all these people. They don't want to get Peyton, but the real thing is, I think Michael Beasley is a great quarterback, and he's actually getting better. That's what I think, and another thing. You gotta let Michael B. do his stuff, his thing. I mean, he's great. He's a great quarterback. He's a great athlete, and I think you should. I mean, let him play his game. He's a great quarterback. He can throw the ball, but he can run. I mean, let him play the game. I mean, I think Andrew Reid is trying to change Michael B. to be this pocket quarterback. He's too small for that.
Yeah.
He gotta get outside the pocket and actually get. I mean, better view for Deshaun Jackson and Mackley. I mean, in 2010, he stood on the package, but he runs the ball.
Yeah, hey Hector,
he didn't do that.
Hector, thanks for the phone call. Thank you.
Thank you. I will. Thank you. Great. You're a great fan. I think Michael Vick has plenty of freedom in this system. You know what I want from Michael Vick? I want Michael Vick to drop back and get rid of the football. I want Michael Vick to turn around and hand off the football. I want Michael Vick to not take hits. If he stays healthy and minimizes turnovers, which is not asking the world, Adam, the Eagles can be right there with anybody.
Better decisions, and here's the thing. He's going to get so much more comfortable having a full offseason. He's been here.
He's been here every day.
I mean, that's huge. Dave, he is not – do you know his first full season, first full offseason? You know when the last time he had that? 2006.
Yep.
6 years ago. Can you believe that? 6 years ago.
Yep.
That's significant. So this is the first one he's going to have since then, and especially in the Eagles uniform, and that's going to be big.
So we'll see what he does with that time, and he's been here every day, and he's the quarterback, and I just – the Peyton Manning stuff I just don't get. All right, let's go to Ace in D.C. Hey, Ace.
What's up, Dave?
How are you, Adam?
How are you?
Hey, look, check this out, fellas. Right, it seems like, most of my questions to people, when I pose them, it seems like, they out of whack and they crazy. Now, I asked you this question the other day on Twitter, Dave, about Mario Williams. And everybody keeps hitting me with the we got Babin and Cole. I'm not getting them as a defensive end.
All right, wait. Okay, wait. Oh. So hang on. Right. Ace, because we have a lot of calls here. Explain the plan to bring Mario Williams in here. Tell me how it fits under the cap. Tell me how you want to use him.
Okay, I can't give you the exact numbers of how we'll work it, but all you got to do is use last year, for example. The same way we brought these guys in here for one-year deals, and I'm pretty sure, and I'm using the Eagles' aura as an, you know, as my stepping stone. I think a lot of people want to play here, okay? I think he would come here, and I'm not going to say take a pay cut, but I think he would restructure and make his contract look good enough where he'll come out good and we'll come out good. I don't think we need 10 linebackers and everything. We need a solid run-stopping linebacker. And the reason why I say that is if we don't get Mario, then we got to take either Cole and move him to linebacker.
Why? You're not bringing in Mario Williams to become a run-stopping linebacker. That's not what he does.
He didn't play defensive end last year.
Right, but he's an edge pass rusher who's a damn good player. But you're not going to pay $20 million. First of all, the Eagles can't afford that now.
That's what I'm telling you, Dave. I don't think he's not worth that much anymore. Okay, he had the injury last year. All right, he hasn't really in the last 2 years. Mario Williams ain't been what we thought he was going to be. So I think that actually comes in our favor, all right?
Okay. Adam, thanks. Thank you, Ace. Adam, tell me about the market for Mario Williams. What kind of market is there going to be for him?
It's going to be huge. He's not taking a one-year deal. It's going to be 4 to 6 years, and it's going to be average of between $13 and $15 million
a year. But there's not a lot of teams with huge money. There's a few.
Tampa Bay does. Now,
Echelon teams.
Washington does. I mean, they're probably going to be, you know, 9-10 teams who are going to spend big money, Dave. So Williams is not signing a one-year deal. They have a pretty good rotation. That's not like them to. And certain teams that have a lot of money, Dave, they're not usually big spenders.
Right.
Mary Williams is not. It's a good thought, you know, but in theory about schemes fit and moving him around, but he's not coming here.
Listen, if you're going to sign Mario Williams and spend $15 million on him or whatever the number, you're not making him a run-stopping linebacker. Let's use the man.
He would
where
be a joker here. You'd move him everywhere,
which would be fun. All right, Boss from Dallas joins us. Hey, Boss.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, man? Good morning.
All right, man. I'm gonna tell you, we don't need no defensive ends. We need some linebackers.
Yeah. All right. So tell me how you'd like to get a linebacker.
David Hawthorne.
I'm sorry.
We need David Hawthorne.
David Hawthorne. All right. Let's talk to Adam Kaplan. Thanks for the call, Boss. Adam. David Hawthorne.
Yeah, David Hawthorne. Just did some checking about where he generally plays. It's either he's played a little strong side, but he fits in just any 4-3 defense, a middle linebacker on the weak side. He's a guy, if you stack linebackers, right, the top guy as far as cost is going to be Stephen Tulloch, okay? After him, it's probably going to be Curtis Lofton, probably Hawthorne, Jameel McClain, Dan Connor, Dunbar, I like a lot. He's more of a strong side guy or middle.
Can the Eagles afford these? What kind of numbers are these kinds of players looking for?
Tulloch's going to be up there. It's probably going to be $6 to $7 million.
Do you believe at 4 o'clock he'll be a free agent tomorrow?
No, because I think last time I was on your show, I said the Lions would do everything they could once they cleared up cap space. And they're just doing that, yeah.
Okay, so then cross him off the list. Curtis Lofton.
Right now, anything could happen. Right now, I'd say no.
Curtis Lofton, is he the kind of player who would be a good fit?
I think he's going to cost a lot of money. I think he's going to get a lot of money, and I don't see it happening here. Never know for sure, but I would say probably not.
Okay. Of that group, just to throw it out there, because I know Eagles fans are just dying right now.
The guys I would keep an eye on at 4 p.m. and after that. Now, I will tell you this. I don't expect the Eagles to jump out and sign anyone with the first 24 hours. Why? None of these linebackers, other than Tulloch, you need to get done on the first day. You need to jump out and just blow everyone out of the water. You look at Asamoah, Dave. His market dropped significantly. That's how the Eagles were able to get back in it last year. So, I mean, guys to keep an eye on here. Obviously, Tulloch, if he becomes free, but right now I don't. Hawthorne, I think, would fit in nicely here. Jameel McClain makes sense. He's from the area. He would play inside only, though, in this
game. Why not Barrett Roode?
I'm going to get to him in a minute. Dan Connor, I would say probably a little bit further down along with Jolon Dunbar and Wesley Woodyard. The thing with Woodyard is I think he's more of a nickel linebacker, and he's terrific.
Okay.
He's awesome in coverage. I mean, if you want to just make him a specialty linebacker, you could do that.
Okay, what about Dan Connor, who's been talked about?
Yeah, Dan Connor, the issue with him is how the Eagles see him, and I don't know if they see him as just a two-down guy because that's what he's really been. Did a good job last season. I'll tell you what I like about him. He can tackle. He's a really good tackler, but I just don't I think you'd have to bring him out. Now, who would be the Eagles' nickel linebacker this coming season? Is it going to be Keenan Clayton? Who's it going to be?
Is it going to be Clayton? Is it going to be Matthews? Is it going to be Chain?
Right,
is it going to be Roll?
That's something that they have to figure out in the offseason. Now, Barrett Roode I like, but talking to people around the league, his rep as far as accomplished player has gone down a little bit, so I don't know if they'd look at him here.
Okay. Let's take another call. Steve in Alabama. Hi, Steve.
Hey, D. What's up, Kyle?
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, man, I'm all right, man. I'm ready to get the ball rolling, man.
Yes, sir.
People sound excited. This is good.
It's good.
It's good.
Hey, it's been a long off-season here.
I'm ready, man.
Yeah, and free agency, don't forget, is starting later.
Adam, I hit you on Twitter a lot.
Okay. What's your
trying to get in contact with you.
What's your name?
What's your Twitter name?
Hang on. What's your Twitter name?
It's better for our system.
What's your Twitter handle, just so I know?
It's RealDMV85.
Okay, right. You're wearing the glasses on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
I know that one. That's good. See, you've made an impact.
Go ahead. Steve.
What do you got?
Enough about his Twitter.
Quiet.
I'm trying to talk to someone on Twitter.
I'm interested in Tulloch and Lofton. Who do you feel between these two linebackers would fit our system better?
That's a good question.
Wide nine strong, but is Lofton good enough for the wide nine?
I think Tulloch's a better linebacker for what the Eagles do.
The wide nine is not a defense. The wide nine is an alignment.
It's called a nine technique. Yeah, it's exactly. I think Tulloch. Yes, I think Tulloch would be.
You don't think he's going to get there though.
Look, I think there's a very strong chance he's going to stay with the Lions because that's one of the many reasons why they're restructuring.
I mean, he resurrected his career there.
Yeah, I mean, he only signed a 1-year deal. He's expecting to get paid, and he deserves it. He's a good football player.
Yeah.
Good guy too.
All right, Steve. Well, thanks, man.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right, let's take a little break here. When we come back, Adam will join us in a little bit. Brian Baldinger, the NFL Network, joins us. Adam, can you hang around for a little while?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do that. Adam Kaplan will be back in just a moment, as will we here on Eagles Live.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
The Philadelphia Eagles invite you to experience Lincoln Financial Field like never before through an exclusive tour of one of the premier stadiums in the NFL. This unique backstage journey through the stadium will feature the Comcast press box, broadcast booth, club and suite levels, Eagles home interview room, locker room, and the field. Call 267-570-4510 or visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com for more information.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2011 and look forward to an even better 2012. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Download the Eagles mobile app for the latest news, videos, stats, and more. Available now for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry devices. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/mobile for more.
I'm Dave Spadaro. We welcome into the studio from the NFL Network, Brian Baldinger, a man about town here in Philadelphia as well. And Brian, it's start of free agency here is a day away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here. I don't know what the Eagles are going to do. Do you have any kind of sense, a feel for what they might do?
It's maybe a bigger year than last year with a number of guys that are out there. We know who has been franchised, so that's limited being able to go get those guys. But I think the fact that they re-signed their own in DeSean Jackson, I think that's a big statement already. It seems like they want to stay the course, but I think you could look at positions on defense right up the middle, tackle, linebacker, safety, that if they're going to spend money and get aggressive, I would think that's where they're going to go.
What's your general philosophy on free agency? Does it work?
It can. It can. I mean, look, they upgraded their overall talent last year. They upgraded their talent in a lot of different areas a year ago in free agency. It was a one-time boom, and they took advantage of it. They were prepared. Nnamdi, Cromartie, I know that was a trade. But, you know, there's
Babin helps, Jenkins. I mean, there's still core here. Evan Mathis hopefully remains. And
yes. I mean, they upgraded their talent last year. But to me, look, they have free agency first and then the draft. I always thought it should be the other way around. I always thought the draft should come first because you want to build through the draft. Everybody will say that. Let's upgrade our talent. Let's address our needs. Let's start developing young players. That's the foundation, lifeblood of any organization. So I always thought it was in reverse. But since it's the other way around, the free agency happens first, I think you got to look at your cap situation. The Eagles have money. I think some money. I think, you know, you go, okay, what's our biggest need? I believe that the Eagles, the way they're constructed, it's a good plan. Okay, get after the quarterback, pressure the wide receivers, make the quarterbacks beat you, be aggressive in offense and get the lead. That all kind of goes together. But I think you have to have flexibility in this league. You know, when you're playing San Francisco and they want to run the ball, once they get the lead and they keep you, you got to be able to stop it. You know, if Chicago is running right all day long at you, and the best way to stop them and to put the ball back in Cutler's hands, stop them, you need those type of guys that can do that. And I think they sold out on pass rushers, which is great. I mean, it was a good plan. Washburn coaches up well. They did well. I just think they, you know, they could use some more bulk in the middle there.
All right, so the stars of the combine a couple of weeks ago were, you know, the Fletcher Coxes, the Dontari Poes, and all of a sudden 335-pound defensive tackle. Maybe a good route to go. First of all, combines, you believe in what Poe did?
But for example, Dontari Poe,
yeah,
it's perfect.
Dontari Poe, right.
Because here's a kid out of Memphis who's, you know, he's got size, he's got girth, and he runs this sub-5 flat 40. He's beating the defensive ends. But then you go back and I watch them. All right, let me go watch Memphis. It's not how many tapes you watch, it's which ones you watch. So watch them against an SEC opponent like Mississippi State. Quality opponent, okay, chance for him to shine. Guy's on the ground, guy can't find the football. Now, then you have to go back and go, okay, how was he coached? Who coached him? Because they're going to look at his talent and go, it's supreme. But there's a lot of defensive tackles that were drafted on talent. They can never find the football. I like to have a guy that's a little more instinctual, better pass rush than he has. I know he can run, and I know he's got size. I don't know. That sounds like a project to me.
Yeah, certainly that's down the line, and we see if the Eagles can satisfy defensive tackle in free agency. I mean, I think my expectations are pretty low for free agency. After last year, you know.
Yeah, they changed the roster last year. I mean, I think this is a draft I think they can find players. I mean, look, Luke Kuechly out of Boston College, when you watch him, he looks like a pro. He plays like a pro. He looks like he's been in a pro system at St. Xavier in Cincinnati in high school. You know, at Boston College, all he did was a tackling machine. He knows how to find the football. He's got size. He can run. I mean, he may be there at 15, Dave. Maybe you have to jump up a few spots. But it's a position of need. I think he knows how to play. It doesn't look like it's a big transition for him. He looks like Brian Urlacher out there playing.
Nate Allen comes off the injury last year, plays a lot up and down. Coleman, second year, starts. Not bad, productive, 4 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got Jaquan Jarrett, who is second year kid from Temple, a lot riding on him. How do you assess safety and the importance on the rankings here?
Well, I mean, Kurt Coleman, is a very good player. The only problem with Kurt is, you know, he's 190 pounds, Dave,
mm-hmm.
and he hits like a guy that should weigh 220. Those guys don't generally last 16 games each year. You know, and I don't want to put the curse on anybody, but he plays a very aggressive game. I like Kurt. Nate's got to get healthy because I don't know if we ever saw him healthy last year. I think, you know, and if you're not healthy, are you ever playing with the confidence you want to play with? So you have to play that out. And Jaquan Jarrett, I just think, has a lot of learning to do. And safety is a position of need across this board. It's a weak position on most teams' boards, on most teams. And they're hard to find. So I like the aggressiveness of Jaquan. I know he can tackle. But you never really tackle the way you think you can, the way you did up on North Broad Street at Temple, until you're really confident about what you're doing.
Baldy, what does the offense need? We hardly ever talk about the offense other than stop turning the football over, Michael Vick, and be better in the red zone, and maybe you need a big receiver. But, I mean, is that all the offense needs to be, you know, away
there
from
being
great?
There is a hump there, Dave. I think there's a hump. Because, look, can you look at games last year against Buffalo, against San Francisco, where they were putting up 500 yards of offense, Dave. They're scoring 23 points. It didn't measure up. Now, why was that? Turnovers in the red zone. So I know it sounds redundant and it sounds repetitive, but when you drive the field and you're up and down between the 20s the way they were with these big splash plays, you got to finish it off. Now, why aren't they good in the red zone? I think Mike's height has something to do with it. Mm-hmm. I think the lack of big receivers in that part of the field has something to do with it. I think what they became much better at was I think they became a much better running team. The offensive line was as good as I've seen since I've been watching the Eagles now. LeSean McCoy became a much better short yardage runner and goal line runner. I think you can lean on him a lot more. And then, look, they got to finish drives. And so, you know, I'm sure that should be the emphasis of this offseason in, you know, the OTAs.
Brian, you're now hosting a show on 97.5, The Fanatic in Philadelphia, and
Baldy and Mays at 97.5.
Yes, sir. And, you get to talk to Eagles fans and mm-hmm. get a feel for what they're feeling. What will make them happy going into training camp?
I think there's going to be a big drumbeat for this kid, Luke Kuechly, out mm-hmm. of Boston College. He did very well at the Combine. He's a big-time linebacker. He's going to be the number one linebacker on everybody's board throughout this whole process. And I think if they went out and they plucked him, they'd go, oh, they're really going to address a position of need. They've never done that. They've never drafted a linebacker in the first round since 1979. People know. I think that would go a long way.
What if they sign one in free agency?
Well, if they sign one in free agency, you know, it's providing, like, I don't know, Lance Briggs. It'd have to be somebody that they recognize
okay.
out there.
Okay.
You know, a big name that would make a real splash.
Right. And then that gets everybody fired up. Say the Eagles are changing course here. They're going off the pattern.
Yeah, a little bit. I think there's a little fatigue about, you know, okay, they can win 10 games. Can they advance in the playoffs? I mean, people, especially after what the Giants did. Now, the Eagles will turn that around, and rightfully so, going, if you just get in.
You get a shot.
You get a shot. I mean, mm-hmm. look, the Eagles will say, we won our last four games. We played better. And they did. And I think they listened to Juan a lot more. And, the breakdowns weren't as numerous. And they tackled better. And they did a lot of good things. And so you'd like to see that carry over and upgrade it in some areas over there. I think that would, you know, make the fans, give them more optimism.
Well, let's see what happens here. Offseason really heats up starting tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Free agency begins. We thank you, Brian Baldinger,
you got it, David,
for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
you know, weight loss programs can be expensive, so to save some money, I just got the popular girls from the local middle school to follow me around.
Ew, seriously?
So gross.
Ew, seriously?
That is so gross.
Ew, seriously.
Dude, that is so totally gross.
Sign up.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Spadaro back here. It's Eagles Live, joined by Adam Kaplan, Sirius XM NFL Radio. Quite a busy show today, huh?
Yes, lots going on.
Yes. All right, so give me your best guess as to what the Eagles might do here.
In free agency?
Yeah.
One to two veteran linebackers, and I don't necessarily mean think it's going to be someone who's been in the league 10 years. It might be someone who's been in the league 5 years. So I think it's going to be a veteran linebacker. That will probably be the first position they address. We'll see if I'm right or not. And then I think they're going to sign a safety, a veteran safety, someone who's been around, who's had extensive starting experience.
Again, I don't know if I agree with you. If you
really? Okay.
Your safeties
not
are...
Not a lot of money, though.
All right, but Nate Allen, okay, whoever starts, Jaquan Jarrett, Kurt Coleman, and Cole Anderson. Unless you're going to go five, unless you're going to go
three
five
playable guys, Dave. Three. Okay. Don't you think you need
all right,
to add a veteran?
What about LaRon Landry? Why wouldn't you go break the bank for him?
Why wouldn't you? Last two seasons, Dave, he's been injured a lot. In fact, let's see here. He's missed 15 games over the last two seasons, mainly with an Achilles problem. You're going to invest
$7
million Eagles a year. That's probably going to where that number goes.
Eagles, okay. Eagles fans have wanted to do that.
Because the Eagles fans think it's fantasy football. They want names. They have no idea about these players. They want names. We'll give you names, okay? I gave you the names at linebacker. I think that, to me, if the Eagles are going to sign a veteran safety, they look at guys who've started.
And you're signing somebody to bring in as a starter.
Maybe insurance. Not necessarily. Someone who will be willing to compete for the job, not just be handed the job. That's the difference, Dave.
Okay.
I don't think you need to do that. And I agree with your premise. Let Jarrett compete for the job.
Do you think that free agency is going to be this big spending free-for-all for a lot of
the
players?
The top names in every free agency are going to go off the board very quickly within the first 3 days. After that, you might as well wait till the numbers come down. As a GM told me last night, he said, we're going to be players later. We're in the secondary and third market. We're not going to get in early. So to me, I don't know if the Eagles have that same plan.
Well, that's a question. Yeah. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow, are we going to hear that the Eagles are...
Here's what I think. I think the Eagles might bring in some players for visits over the first couple of days, but I don't think they need to go out and spend big money. That's not what this market is. Remember, 21 players got franchise tags. And the linebackers that are out there, the only guy I think is going to... There are going to be two guys that are going to cost a lot of money, Tulloch and Lofton. Now, if those guys are not off the board after the first 3 to 4 days, those numbers will drop.
Okay.
And Howie Roseman is really good at assessing the market. He gathers information, as does Andy Reid and his staff. So, as will the personnel staff. I think they're going to be very, very careful about when and how much they spend.
215-339-6709. Okay, Will, good question here. Will the Eagles do something at backup running back?
Yes, but I don't think you need to do that. We talked about this last time, and I think I gave you my list. You don't need to go out first couple of days. You could wait a couple of weeks, to be honest with you. I think backup offensive linemen, you can wait a while. There are a ton of those guys out there. They're like 15 guys. Now, the one thing we didn't talk about, what happens if Evan Mathis
becomes
a free agent?
We'll get to that.
But again, they're going to need a backup lineman. But Winston Justice, if he stays, can be that swing guard tackle.
All right, let me go into the Evan Mathis question. He wants to come back. The Eagles want to have him back. It was a good marriage last year.
Great story. Really a great story.
But a team like the Washington Redskins has to build its offensive line. They have a lot of cap room. What happens with Evan Mathis?
Well, Dave, he is a guy that the Eagles would like to have back, but I don't think you have to break the bank for him. He's a guy that turns, 30? Is he 30 or turns 30?
He's 30. He's already 30.
You have to be careful. Evan had a great season by anybody's standards. The tape showed it. Everybody knows that he played by far the best he's ever had. And it might be Howard Mudd's scheme. He might just be a great fit for it. So, you'd like to keep him. But at guard, unless you're one of the top guys, like Carl Nix deserves whatever he's going to get. And I think I feel strongly Dallas is going to go after him. But
they don't have a lot of cap room, though, do they?
They can massage it. Terrence Newman is a guy that they need to make a decision on. But I think Mathis is, he could ask for as much as he wants. But Is he going to get that from the Eagles, who are tight with cap room? I don't know about that. Now, you mentioned Washington. They've got a ton of room.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. If Mathieu doesn't get the kind of deal he's looking for here, he's going to get something pretty good, because there are a lot of teams that have money. However, you have to look at his history and his age, and can he continue to do this for the next 4 to 5 years? Because at 30 years old, he's probably going to play till 34 and 35.
Right.
35. And the good thing about Mathis is he doesn't have a big injury history. He's pretty clean. He's a great guy. You'd like to keep him. It's not going to be easy. I expect him to be a free agent at 4 p.m. Eastern, barring something unforeseen tomorrow.
Defensive tackle Derek Landry, Trevor Laws, what goes down there?
I only think they're going to re-sign one. I don't have a feel for who it's going to be. I think this is what free agency is this year for this football team. You have to wait and see kind of what happens leading up to 4 o'clock and the next 48 hours after that, because Landry's going to get a lot of interest because his tape is really good, and Laws is going to get interest if he makes it because of the versatility. I know the Eagles like both football players. It's a good position to be in for the Eagles, because you know whoever you re-sign, I guess it's possible you could re-sign both, but I think it's unlikely. Either guy they would sign is going to play, because they've already done it in their system. That's the great thing. So I think you have to look at that. We've talked about linebacker safety. If guys want to hit me up on Twitter later, I have a couple names, but they're not going to – I'd be stunned if they – it's one thing to check into Landry, but it's one thing to sign him. I'd be stunned if they sign him.
Jamie, we're going to get to you in just a second. Vincent Jackson, what teams do you go to?
I think Washington makes sense. I think Chicago, Tampa Bay, and there are two other teams that I've been hearing might emerge if the numbers are reasonable. Right now, you're looking at $12 or $13 million.
Okay.
You're in the Larry Fitzgerald range. He's a great football player. Really.
Okay. Mario Williams, where is he going?
Chicago. Now, I know
Chicago.
It's been written. Now, here's what I think. I know it sounds crazy. I'm told he would like to go there. He's interested. He's heard good things of Rod Marinelli.
How are they using him?
First of all, how are they going to afford to pay two? You know how much Joey Peppers is the highest paid DN of the league?
Yeah.
How the heck could you afford it? But I think there might be some interest there. And okay. There's going to be somewhere. Chicago, I think, isn't outside yet.
Okay.
I think you look at any team. Now, I think, by the way, I think it's more of a 4-3 team than a 3-4. He did play in a 3-4 last season before he got hurt. So we'll have to see.
All right. And then what about who else is the big? How about Carl Nix? You think the Cowboys?
I think Dallas is going to be in the mix. I think probably 3 to 4 teams with a lot of cap space. Washington has a ton of cap space. They need to do something. I mean, you're going to invest all those draft picks and Robert Griffin III, and you're not going to have a good offensive line for this kid.
Okay.
I mean, I know he can move around, but he's a rookie.
Marcus Colston.
Tough market, because I think everybody understands what he is. He's a product of that system. Good football player. Great going in those underneath zone defenses, but I think I don't know if anyone breaks the back. I think Tampa Bay is the team that's going to spend big on a couple players, but they've got a lot of needs. They have needs at linebacker, D-tackle. I know they're going to look at some of those secondary D-tackles. They're not going to spend a lot of money on, but they're going to sign one D-tackle. They're going to spend on cornerback. The Bucs are that team with a lot of cap space, over $40 million, and they're going to go for it on a couple players.
Cortland Finnegan.
Depends what Dallas is able to do to clear up cap space. It's going to be hard. Detroit probably will look at him. Tampa Bay, I think, will look at him.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And how about Atlanta? You know, Atlanta is a team that they need a lot of help. They're coming off a season where they disappointed in the playoffs significantly against the Giants. That team could be in transition here. I'm not sure where they're going.
All right, let's go to Jamie in Chesterbrook, Pennsylvania. Hey, Jamie.
How's it going?
Good. How are you? Thanks for calling.
I'm doing well. I was thinking, instead of Plaxico Burress with the 15th overall pick, Michael Floyd out of Notre Dame.
We talked about this the last time. I just don't see with we're going to assume Jackson's going to be here. Whether they sign him to an extension or not, he's at least here on a one-year franchise tender.
Great talent, by the way, Michael Floyd.
He is, and he's got really good size. But you look at Macklin, who's a fantastic talent. People, you know, they have a short memory. This kid was big time 2 years ago. He had the off-the-field scare, the health issue. That's under control. He's fine. He'll get a full offseason. He's going to be a starter. You've got Avance, their slot receiver. They need to add probably one more guy. I think Burris makes more sense to me. When you look at the list of free agents out there, other than Burris, who would give you help in the red zone, you don't need a guy for 50 plays. You need a guy probably, Dave, for 30 plays a game. And Burris, to me, fits that. But at 35, I mean, I don't know what he's looking for. He got a little bit over $3 million fully guaranteed. I don't even know if he gets that this season. In fact, that's going to be the issue, I think, coming here. Last year, it all died once you know, once the contract was out, and I'll be honest with you, no one was hot on Burse except for the Jets.
Okay.
I don't see Floyd. I don't see it here. It's a fine thought. I just don't see it.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it's a high pick. It's a very high pick for a receiver. But,
well, it's just for not. It's not for a major need.
With that's the
a,
youth, no, Jamie, I'd bring in youth real quick, compared though, to an older receiver would be better.
You'd bring in Hughes?
Who did you say? Youth or what did you say?
Oh, youth. He said youth.
Yeah, yeah. Here, Jamie, here's the thought here. If Jackson was not coming back, absolutely Floyd's in play at 15. I don't think there's any question about it. But or Blackman, if you know, if they want to move up, but they're not. Jackson right now is coming back.
Let me ask you. Hey, thanks for the call. Let me ask you this, Adam. Let's just play the game that fans like to play.
Sure.
Let's say Mathis moves on.
Okay.
And what about Steve Hutchinson?
Shoulder issues. 35 years old. Downside of his career. I mean, you could look for 1 year, maybe get something out of him, but I don't. I think he struggled with injury, and I just think that he's a backup right now.
What about David Castro then at 15?
Oh, DeCastro from DeCastro, Stanford, right. That's a good name. Yes. See, I think Mathis is the type of guy, if he gets to free agency, which I think is a big possibility, I don't think he comes back. Why? His tape is so good. I think he's got to get the contract he's looking for elsewhere. But listen, I hope he comes back, and I don't usually care about what teams do, but he's a great guy to have around. He's a unique guy, and I'd like to see him back, but it's not my call.
215-339-6709. Do you believe, Adam, that the Eagles will, and we talked about this briefly, but will they free up all this cap space and go from 9.6 or 10.1 to $19 million of available money?
There are a lot of variables.
And will they do it early? Wouldn't you want to do that early on?
Yeah, the Samuel thing, listen, he's got 2 years left. So right now he's coming back. We touched on it earlier. I mean, if they restructure, he's coming back. I think that's the least you have to do here. Now, he may say, first of all, he doesn't have to do this. He could just say, no, I'm not doing it. I want my money. Now, you know, they could cut him. You know, if he said no, they could cut him. I think, again, you asked my opinion. I think he's not on the roster for the season.
That's but do you do it now?
I think you would like
to. Do it now.
History shows.
Like right away.
Yes. Teams show history shows that you do it very early in free agency. You don't want this to drag on. But I listen, you know, if that's going to happen, you have to think that they've been on the phone trying to move him. So
all right.
That's reality in the NFL.
Let's go down to South Carolina and talk to Dre. Dre, welcome to the show. Yo, Dre.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up? Speak up if you don't mind just a little bit. Yes.
Dre.
All right.
What do you got?
Yes.
Go ahead.
He's listening to this. Don't listen to your speakers.
Yeah, turn it off. Yeah, turn it off and speak.
Okay. What are we going to do about Asante Samuel? Can we trade him?
Just talk.
Yeah.
Better linebacker or safety?
Yeah. Thanks. You know, we talked about it, Dre. Trade's going to sounds like it's very difficult to make.
By the way, you made a really interesting point, and Dre just brought it up. If let's say, for argument's sake, within the next 48 hours they move him, cut him, you know, lower his base salary, where they clear up a lot of money. Dre, that's where the question goes, and I think you actually touched on it.
Where do they go with the money?
Where do they go with that money? I think that helps him. Let's say, again, we don't know for sure on Tulloch. Who knows? But let's say Tulloch somehow became a free agent. You've got more money to sign him now, but it depends how high the number goes, okay? Or safety, I'm with Dave here. The only difference between Dave and I is I think they're actually going to sign a safety, but I don't think it's going to be a guy who's going to come in and start. I think it's a guy who would compete, that's all. It's more of an insurance policy.
Okay. Bill in California joins us. Hello, Bill.
Dave, good morning.
Good morning. It's good afternoon.
How you doing? Well, it's up morning.
9 a.m. Yeah, it's 9 a.m. for you. Whereabouts in California are you?
Just outside of San Francisco.
What? I know the area pretty well. What area? Where
Concord.
Nice. All right, go ahead. What do you got?
Well, you know what? You know, Derek Landry went to De La Salle High School right here in Concord.
Okay. Right? Who's that?
And I met him last year.
LeRon Landry?
And I talked to him after the season
was
over.
Wait, did you say Derek Landry or LeRon Landry?
Pardon me?
What player are you talking about?
Derek Landry.
Oh, Derek Landry. Right, okay. Right. He went with MJD at a high school. All right, go ahead.
He went to De La Salle High School and then Notre Dame.
Yeah. What's your question?
I talked to him a couple, probably a month ago.
Okay.
He said that he didn't know he was going to hang around Philly. Are they going to sign him?
Yeah, I don't know. My belief is, Bill, that he will get to free agency, and then when he is in free agency, he'll have some options. I do agree with Adam. Thank you for the call, Bill. Look, you're going to tender Antonio Dixon, who we haven't talked about. You know, you've got Cullen Jenkins, Mike Patterson, Antonio Dixon. There's your top three tackles. You're either going to keep Trevor Laws or Landry. Mm-hmm. You've got Cedric Thornton, who you like. And then at 15, it's a good group of defensive tackles in the draft. I think that they want to make Cullen Jenkins more of a hybrid, play a little inside, play a little outside. I do believe they will add a defensive tackle. I just don't know if they're going to retain both Derek Landry and Trevor Laws.
Again, I think it's going to be one. Laws gives a little bit more versatility. Landry is so good for 20, 25 plays a game, so we'll have to see what happens. But, again, you can get excited when you hear the names that are going to be out there at linebacker, but whether they sign any guy really quickly or not, I don't see that. But
this kid, all of a sudden, they're talking about him like a top 10 pick.
I'll have more information on him as we get it. I've talked to two GMs. I happen to ask him after the combine. Like him, don't love him. He's not a high first-round pick. But you know what? It only takes one team.
In the mock drafts, boy, they're going crazy.
13 years, when I've been wrong, I've not understood that it only takes one team to reach for a player. So who knows? Yep.
All right, let's go to Las Vegas and talk to Jordan. Hey, Jordan.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Doing great. Just woke up, actually.
Yeah, you sound like it, man.
And you got right on the horn. I like that.
Yeah, first thing you do is you got to check Eagles Live Monday morning. First thing. But I had a question I saw on the chat board I thought I'd run by you guys.
Okay.
Instead of going out signing Paxco Burris or some other wide receiver, what about keeping Riley Cooper more mixed in the red zone offense?
I like Riley a lot. To me, it's been 2 years, and whether it's his play or whether it's the coach, he really hasn't been the red zone go up and get the ball target. This is ideally, Jordan, a big tall receiver who they have to play a safety over the top. You got to shade a safety over there a little bit.
Inside the 20, yes.
Inside the 20, and I mean, Riley's just not that kind of guy.
A little bit of coaching that you need?
Well, he's got 2 years of coaching. I mean,
he'll have a full offseason, but I think his issue has never been ability. It's playing the ball in the air. I mean, that's a great play there, by the way. But
yeah, it was a great play.
An unbelievable play. But in general, his issue has been playing the ball in the air and seeing and going and getting it. He's been a big, I wouldn't say a big surprise, but he's been a nice story. I think he's probably maxed out what he can do. I'm with Dave here. I mean, when you get inside the 20, Plaxico Burress, or there are very few receivers that you have to worry about. Colson's unbelievable inside the red zone because he's like a basketball player, 6'4". Burris has just got a knack for it. I mean, would he have 7 red zone touchdowns last year?
7 of 8 of his touchdowns were in the red zone.
That's pretty remarkable.
But we'll see. And you know what, Jordan? Maybe it is Riley, and maybe in his third year he developed into a player. I think he's an NFL player for many years to come. He just so far has not demonstrated that he commands that safety over the top in the red zone. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. Let me add this. Brent Celek, second half of the season, once Vic and Celek got their mojo on, got their timing down, I mean, they're going to have something special, and Celek is fine. And Celek is
ready to go by somebody else. Yeah, by having a safety over the top allows Celek to have just a little bit more wiggle room.
We saw that. That's why when you have DeSean Jackson,
you run him in tandem over here. The safety takes Burris, and then
DeSean Jackson helps you because you got to play safeties deep. You have Burris, who's a guy, an intermediate guy. He does not run as well as he once did, but Celek has been a remarkable story. And I think that, you know what I think? I think Vic is finally, since the first time since Algie Crumpler, found the tight end. And it's kind of like when Kevin Cobb was here, and I think both those guys are going to be great together. I really do. I think the best is yet to come with them. We talked about Clay Harbor in the last show a little bit. I think Harbor's a guy we need to see more of, Dave, don't you think?
Yeah, I think the second tight end is very critical. And clearly the Eagles have to figure out, do they love Clay Harbor? Do they want him to develop into that second option?
Look what Celek did there, and he was beat up physically. He had two injuries. I mean, he is big time, man. I got to give him credit for playing through those injuries.
Yeah.
Great.
All right, let's go to the phones. Who do we have here? Bob in New Jersey joins us. Hey, Bob. Hello.
Robert.
Hey, Bob.
Oh.
Bob's no longer there. Bob has bailed on us.
Bob in Florida.
What are you going to be doing at 4 o'clock?
Me?
Yeah.
What, you mean tomorrow?
Yeah.
I'll be on the phone all day. As soon as I get out of here, phone. Returning calls, making calls. I love this time of year. I mean, it's great. Unfortunately, the top part of free agency, especially this year because all the franchise tags, won't last very long. I think the secondary market's going to be interesting because there are going to be a ton of secondary market guys. Secondary market might be the best I've seen in years because the top part is not going to be very good.
Well, I think we've covered pretty much everything. How about punter? Eagles going to bring in another punter?
I think they're pretty good with these two young kids. I really do.
Adam Kaplan, we'll check in early and often here.
Sure.
Throughout the offseason.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see you during the draft and all that stuff.
We got a long way to go.
Breach is going to be fun.
Give me a prediction. One guy the Eagles sign.
A middle linebacker.
Do the Eagles sign Plaxico Burress?
I think it's all speculative. Generally, you know me.
He's been selling himself to everyone.
No, but I know that. But when I say I think they're looking at this guy, it's because I know it's probably going to happen because I think the money's going to be right. This one's tough. We don't know where the linebacker money's going to go. We really don't. I know this. I asked a lot of people that I respect in this specific scheme. I mentioned like 10 guys, and the guys, we went over that list. There were like five guys I think fit in well here. I think they'll get one of them, but I can't tell you because I don't know where the money's going to go. We're going to learn. I think, okay, and I'll give you another prediction. I think within the first 5 days, they'll have a middle linebacker in here.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
We got to wait 5 more days?
No, I think within the first 5 days of free agency. It could be the second day, Dave. I don't know that.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a little break here. We got a lot more to go. John Dorenbaugh stops by. We take a visit into the past as well, and you're not going to want to miss it. Adam Kaplan, thanks for joining us here. Coming right back in just a moment.
We want to protect the house.
Right.
But
home security systems can be really expensive. So to save money, we actually just adopted a rescue panther. We find that we don't need to sleep that much.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Dave Spadaro here inside the studio. We're going to step back from the madness of the eve of free agency and talk about the NFL and the Philadelphia Eagles from a completely different generation. The year was 1948. The star was Steve Van Buren. And I had the opportunity to sit down and have lunch with somebody who's become a friend of mine, a Daily News writer by the name of Will Bunch, who wrote a book, a Kindle single. It is titled Give It to Steve, and it chronicles the 1948 NFL championship game between the Eagles and the Chicago Cardinals in Philadelphia, and we bring in Will and talk to him about it. Will, I thought Give It to Steve was a great read. I am telling all Eagles fans to go to Amazon.com and give it a read. It's a Kindle single. It costs just $1.99, and I thought you did a brilliant job chronicling the conditions around the NFL in 1948 and really highlighting a special time in Philadelphia Eagles franchise history.
Oh, absolutely, and thanks for having me on the show, Dave. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. You begin the book with kind of the backdrop of the 2010 blizzard that forced the Eagles to move the game against the Minnesota Vikings, and you know, you weave that into 1948. Let's talk about it and the conditions for that NFL championship game.
Well, going back to 1948, you know, this was way before Doppler weather and the Weather Channel and people's obsession with forecasts. So, you know, I mean, there were weather forecasts, but people weren't as obsessive about it. I read the Philadelphia Inquirer story the day before said, well, the weather says there is a chance of snow and rain. And what actually happened is when they woke up that morning, it started snowing, I think, at 6:45 in the morning. And it really just came down at pretty much blizzard-like clip the whole day. Now, compared to some recent snowstorms, I think that the ultimate accumulation was 8 inches, which is, you know, significant. You know, not one of the greatest accumulations in all time, but basically the heaviest snow came right in the couple hours before the game and then during the game. So you had snow falling an inch or two an hour actually during and right before the game. So it was a pretty major blizzard that they decided to go ahead and play football in that day.
Will, I don't want to give away too many secrets of the book. It's a good read, a quick read, fascinating read. But, I mean, it revolves kind of around the star of the team, the best player in the NFL in those days, running back Steve Van Buren. 1948 was the final season the NFL players wore the leather helmets. You did a lot of research on Steve Van Buren. What did you find out about him from back then and all the way to now? He's still alive and he's still with us.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the reasons I was inspired to look into this topic and to write this Kindle single was the fact that I was not even aware until 2010 that Steve Van Buren was still around, and he's still around today. He's 91 years old, and he lives in a nursing home in Lancaster. And really, really just an incredible life story. I mean, one thing, and I had grown up, I was a football geek and a sports history geek growing up, so I knew a little bit about the 48 game, and I knew a little bit about Steve Van Buren, but I had no idea that he'd been born in this really remote small island in the Caribbean off of Honduras. Grew up on that island until he was 10 years old back in the 1920s. And when he was 10, his mother died, unfortunately, and his father. One thing that's interesting also is he's descended basically from pirates, buccaneers. I mean, they were British, seafaring buccaneers who ended up sailing in Honduras. So that was his bloodline. Anyways, his father was out of the picture, and so he ended up moving to New Orleans, where his mother had family, and grew up very poor, right in the depths of the Great Depression in New Orleans. And the fact that he became a pro football player with all the hardships and obstacles he faced is just an incredible testament to his both natural athletic ability and also just his willpower to get through that. He actually dropped out of high school for 2 years and worked in an iron foundry where he bulked up because he had been too small to make the football team the first go around. He came back with all this new muscle from working in an iron foundry and became a star player his senior year, was discovered by a scout from LSU. Basically, the same pattern repeated at LSU. He was ignored. Alvin Dark, the Cleveland Indians baseball player and manager, was LSU's star running back, and Van Buren was the backup who didn't really get to play, and a blocking back. He didn't really get to play and carry the ball much till his senior year and had an All-American breakout year and became the Eagles' number one draft choice in 1943-44.
Yeah, and now a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a great football player. He really reinvented the art of the running back in the NFL. I mean, before then you'd had some, bruisers like Bronco Nagurski and you had some speed guys, but he was really the first guy to combine power and strength, and he was really the first running back who basically ran over tacklers instead of trying to run around them. Remember, like you mentioned, this was still the leather helmet era when he came up, and he took quite a few blows running over people, but that was his style, and people had never seen anything like it. I mean, he was a real flashing running back, and any dominant running back you can think of, Jim Brown, Eric Dickerson, that's who Steve Van Buren was in the 1940s.
Will, describe, if you would, the culture around the Eagles at that point in terms of the fanaticism in Philadelphia. The Eagles had lost in the NFL championship game in the previous season in 1947. this is an opportunity the day after Christmas in 1948 to hopefully win, you know, the first NFL championship in franchise history. And, you know, the fans, just a little bit of television at that time, nationally televised here on the East Coast, quote unquote. But it seems to me that the fanaticism that we enjoy today was very evident way back in 1948.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, they sold pretty, I think the seating capacity of Shy Park for football was 38,000, and they sold almost all the tickets in advance, more than 36,000 in, you know, despite the conditions and, you know, the ability to clear the roads back in 1948, you still had more than 28,000 fans still showed up. So I think, you know, and you had people, you know, I talked to people like Ray Dittinger, the sports writer's grandfather, went to that game and ditched his car in a snowbank, you know, 20 blocks from the stadium and walked the rest of the way. And I mean, so you did have that fanatic. I mean, this is really the period where Philadelphia fell in love with the Eagles. You know, it was right after World War II. The city was overflowing with veterans who had returned from the war, who were going to college on the GI Bill, or they were working at the Navy Yard, and they had a lot of leisure time and a few extra dollars for the first time that the Depression was over. And you know, following the Eagles was a popular thing to do. I mean, they had been a pretty woebegone team in the 30s when they were founded in the early 1940s, and now all of a sudden they were one of the elite teams in the NFL, and the city really responded in a big way.
Well, Will, again, I don't want to give away too many secrets. I urge all Eagles fans, go out, Amazon.com, Give It to Steve is the name of the Kindle single. Will, how are sales going? How are Eagles fans responding to this?
Oh, it's great, and a lot of the interest is coming from Eagles fans. I mean, I'm hoping football fans everywhere will enjoy this story. One thing I want to get out there real quick before we wrap up is you don't have to own the Kindle device to read it. There's programs where you can download the Kindle format for a regular computer of any kind, you know, laptop, home computer, Apple, Mac computer. If you have an iPad, you can download Kindle for iPad, and you can even read Kindle on most kinds of phones, an iPhone or an Android phone. You can download Kindle. So you know, it's a new format, but it's a really exciting way to read the book, and you can really read it on just about any device. And also, a Kindle single is a quick read. It's about a quarter the length of a regular book. So if you get it taken by the story as I did, you can probably read it in one night or, you know, one or two nights. So I encourage anybody who loves a good football story to check this out.
It is a great story. Will Bunch, we thank you for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And Eagles fans, go out and get it. It is Give It to Steve. And if you love the Eagles, and I know you do, this is a must-read. Amazon.com, the place to go.
You know, weight loss programs can be expensive, so to save some money, I just got the popular girls from the local middle school to follow me around.
Ew, seriously?
So gross.
Ew, seriously?
That is so gross.
Ew, seriously?
Dude, that is so totally gross.
Gross, I know.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2011 and look forward to an even better 2012. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
This reminds me of a scene in that movie. Oh, man, what's it called?
I don't know.
No, you know, it's the rookie cop, the veteran cop duo. It's like us, partner.
Just because you get way more movies with Xfinity On Demand doesn't mean you always have to rub it in.
Oh, duck!
Sorry.
Ditch satellite for the most on demand. Experience Xfinity. Sign up for this great offer today. Call 1-800-XFINITY.
We welcome you back to Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you, joined by Eagles long snapper John Dornbos, who I got to say, just welcome back off season here. You've been, I imagine, running around the globe just a little bit.
I wish. I've actually spent a lot of time here. My wife's business is looking to expand, so I've helped her out a lot.
Tell me about the business real quick.
She owns a Contempo spa called Skin Palette in Rittenhouse, and they do custom airbrush tanning, hydration stations, red light therapy.
Are you there, of it?
Yeah. I mean,
are you applying the, are you the front desk guy?
I am not technically an airbrush technician, although we did have, people did come in and ask if men do spray.
And do they?
So, I mean, I know how, you know, I airbrush my wife.
Okay. So romantic.
No big deal.
She is quite gorgeous. You married over
your
head?
Yeah, way over my head. Definitely outkicked my coverage.
Right.
But
it all comes back to football, doesn't it?
It's a football show.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I got to talk spudsy terms.
So tell me about the rest of the offseason. Have you done anything fun? Anything cool?
We went to Vegas for a little bit, which is cool. I went home for a little bit, but for the most part, I've spent a lot of time here in Philly, taking some time off, as you can probably.
You look
observe.
Like you're in great shape.
Yeah, specimen.
I'm not sure what shape that is,
but a shape nonetheless.
But you will be doing something very cool. You're part of the NFL's Hollywood Boot Camp. Now, 20 players, current and former, will be part of this boot camp out in Hollywood, where players will learn to direct, produce, write screenplays.
It's really cool.
It's time for you to go Hollywood. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's really cool, and I've always had a passion for the entertainment business. I have a lot of friends within it, on the producing, the directing, the writing, the acting. And so I've kind of found that I'm kind of the guy that knows a lot of people, so people call me and say, hey, I need to get to this guy or I need to get to that guy. And I got to meet a guy named Mike Tolan, who's a Philly guy, huge Phillies fan, Eagles fan, and done a lot of great movies. You know, he did The Rookie, Coach Carter.
Did you do Invincible?
I
think he did.
He might have been involved, probably. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. The guy does a lot of the 30...
Did Immaculata's movie, The Mighty Max, I believe?
Probably. Yeah. You know, the 30 for 30s on ESPN.
Right.
So to be able to kind of become friends with him, kind of learn from him, I kind of saw that I like the producing side. You know what I mean? I like bringing people together. And, I had some deals with Fremantle Media, which is really cool, on helping kind of create TV shows and stuff like that. And I kind of got to experience it on that level. And then when this opportunity came, I was like, man, this is, you know, I really wanted to learn not so much the screenwriting, even though, you know, writers get paid. But I'm not the best writer. Mm-hmm. But they go into, you know, the breakdown of how to finance a film, where to get financing, how to present it, the producing, the directing, and like you said, it's basically like a crash course with 20 NFL guys. So my thesis, this is really cool. When you applied, you actually had to do this. You know, it's like a couple pages. I mean, it was some work. It was a couple pages. They wanted to see who was serious and who wasn't. And so they basically said, hey, break down what you consider the greatest movie of all time. Now, if I were to ask you the greatest movie of all time, what would you say?
Well, I would say The Wizard of Oz, to be quite honest with you, but I would also say Gladiator, Shawshank Redemption,
yep.
Green Mile. My daughter and I watched Big Fish the other day.
Oh, great movie, bro.
I cry all the time.
Every
that
time.
Movie.
Every time.
What did you say? What was the great movie?
I went with Three Amigos.
Okay, I've never seen it. Was that with Dean?
Come Martin? On!
Comedy with, wait, that's Steve
oh
Martin.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I've never
You've
seen
You've never it. Seen Three Amigos?
I've never seen Three Amigos. Steve
Martin,
Martin and Martin
Chevy
Short.
Chase, Martin Short.
Yeah, I think I've seen pieces
John
of it.
Lovitz.
I got to write that one down, bro.
My, El Guapo.
I don't think I have that much of a sense
the
of humor.
The Singing Bush.
I don't know.
Randy Newman.
So you like all of the Brooks, the Young Frankenstein kind of movie. Isn't that kind
never
of
seen it.
Now, come on!
I've never seen Young Frankenstein. But I basically said, you know, the Three Amigos to me, and when it came out, you know, it got all these harsh reviews that it was too slapstick or whatever, but, you know, you put, you know, Martin Short, Steve Martin, and Chevy Chase together, and you know,
strong.
You let them go. Strong, dude.
So what did you say about the, like, how do you break down that movie?
Well, you know, I broke it down from the costumes, from the writing, from, you know, the continuity of the film to, you know, the comedic timing to everything. I mean, I thought it was just such a funny movie, and, you know, it's funny you just said Big Fish and Gladiator, not to get all sentimental, but my favorite coach that I ever had passed away this offseason. It was a junior college coach that I had for 1 year. And I'll never forget that I was asked to speak at his funeral, and it was the biggest honor of my sports career was to be one of the five people to speak. And I'll never forget Gladiator had just come out. You know what I mean? So we were at practice, and Coach Hay comes up and goes, Dornbos, Nick Heinle. You know, Heinle's this downhill guy, just total, just just loved to hit. You know, I finally went to the movie, saw Gladiator. What a great flick, huh? And I was like, yeah, I went to the movie too. He's like, what'd you see? Saw Big Fish.
There you go.
And he's like, get out of here. That ain't no Gladiator.
Brilliant Tim Burton movie, yeah.
But Big Fish, to me, symbolizes, and I think everybody can reflect on that movie and really appreciate the romantic side of life. And,
sure.
And
how, to me, it was the father-son thing.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
How much do we really know about our parents?
Yep.
So it was cool.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
When did you start getting back into football mode? This is a different
kind of off-season. The season starts, August? What's the first
game? Well, the first OTA is in June, so probably like late May you'll start really getting into it.
So like beginning of June?
Don't you like work on your wrists or something?
You know what? It's funny because this last off season with the lockout, okay? I took advantage of the lockout, and I didn't snap a ball the entire year. And so for me, I really feel like that if I'm in good shape, you know, physically, then I snap well. If I'm kind of not in good shape, then I snap kind of sporadic. So I'm going to start kicking it into gear here, you know, really get strict on the diet and start working out. And then
cool.
I really don't snap a lot until we're actually on the field together, you know.
Free agency begins tomorrow. Will you follow it?
What's that?
Free agency, that is.
Yeah, what is that?
That's when players whose contracts have expired have an opportunity to sign elsewhere.
Oh, you mean that free agency? You know, I really don't, to be honest with you. I mean, I got some friends that are free agents, so it'll be exciting to see what happens to them. Obviously, it's going to be, you know, you kind of follow it to how it affects our team.
Sure.
You know, but I don't really, you know, people always ask me, oh, did you look at the draft or the combine, and they're like, oh, this guy coming out of college, and I'm like, I'll be honest with you guys, I've never heard of that dude.
Did you watch the playoffs? Did you watch the Super Bowl? Were you rooting for the Giants?
You know what? I wanted to be the Harbaughs. I did. I wanted it to be Baltimore, San Fran.
Sure.
I wanted Dave to go to the Super Bowl. Akers, that is, and
well, we all know who
just
is,
Justin yeah. Smith. I mean, that's a guy that I respect, and he's a cool dude, and a guy that's been in the league 14, 15 years or whatever, first round pick. He deserved to go. So I really wanted San Fran, but I did watch the Super Bowl. I'll hand it to those guys. It was a phenomenal. I thought it was a great game.
Painful.
Painful, but it was a great game. Like if you take yourself out as a fan, you just watch a football game.
Sure.
It came down to the wire. I didn't want the Giants to win, but I didn't really want New England to win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So. I didn't care.
Hey, that's last year. Now we look to this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, if you're not following John Dornbos on Twitter, you're making a big mistake.
John Dornbos. At John Dornbos.
I am not following John Dornbos, but I will today because he promised me that if I followed him,
yes, Spudsy,
he would follow at Dave Spadaro.
He got a new Twitter.
Well, there's at Eagles Insider, which is like the news.
Right.
But I'm trying to have a look more of an interactive Q&A with the fans.
How about this? So basically, Spudsy comes up to me and goes, hey, you follow me on Twitter? I'm like, yeah, I'm following you on Twitter because the last time you did this to me, then I instantly followed you on Twitter. He goes, you're not following me on Twitter. And I go, I'm following you on Twitter. He goes, well, I got a new Twitter. And now I'm the bad guy because I didn't know about his new Twitter.
Did I say you're a bad guy? You're always a good guy to me, buddy.
So follow what's your Twitter?
At Dave Spadaro.
Follow at Dave Spadaro, at John Dornbos. And if you want, my wife was voted by the blog sites as top 5 hottest wives in all sports. No big deal. Go ahead and throw her a little tweet follow at Julie Dornbos.
All right, very well. John, good luck in Hollywood.
Thanks for having me. Oh, yeah.
Hollywood.
Hold on. What do they do like in American Idol?
You are
I'm going to Hollywood.
Yeah. There he goes. John Dornbos. We'll see him another time here. Coming right back in just a moment. The Philadelphia Eagles invite you to experience Lincoln Financial Field like never before through an exclusive tour of one of the premier stadiums in the NFL. This unique backstage journey through the stadium will feature the Comcast press box, broadcast booth, club and suite levels, Eagles home interview room, locker room, and the field. Call 267-570-4510 or visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com for more information.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury,
Make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
This reminds me of the scene in that movie. Oh, man, what's it called?
I don't know.
No, you know, it's the rookie cop, the veteran cop duo. It's like us, partner.
Just because you get way more movies with Xfinity On Demand doesn't mean you always have to rub it in.
Oh, duck!
Sorry.
Ditch satellite for the most on demand. Experience Xfinity. Sign up for this great offer today. Call 1-800-XFINITY.
Seen the signs on the passers-by. Something's got to give. Can't be free, but it's good for me. But this good thing comes along, and I can't deny too long. I need you to save me.
I need you to save me free.
Geico. Saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Download the Eagles mobile app for the latest news, videos, stats, and more. Available now for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry devices. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/mobile for more. Darryl with you. Hey, just one thing before we get back to football here. You know, the Eagles do have a very extensive marketing campaign, and it is all about engaging the fans and embracing the fans. And last year, the team's heart campaign was recognized by the Philadelphia Ad Club's Addy Awards. And the Eagles were big winners, winning 4 awards, the most prominent of which was Best in TV. For this spot, as it relates to the heart campaign, let's play it here, and then we'll take some phone calls on the other side.
Do we make this place, or does it make us? It's impossible to know. But here, every fan, every player, every Philadelphian has a story they hold close and then pass on. We are the Eagles. We are made in Philadelphia, where the home crowd is exactly that. Home. Where it's not just about being tough or living up to a reputation or the rivalries. It's about us. As one, we are unbreakable. We are 4 generations strong. We are what's possible. We are all the heart of the city. And the city is the heart of us.
All right, so there you have that, and thanks to the fans for being part of that as well. All right, let's get back to the telephones here. Let's talk to the Zomster in New York. Hey, Zompy.
Those birds, baby.
I don't hear the Zomster.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, hey, man.
How about those birds, baby?
Hey, what's up?
I'm here, man. I'm here. What's going on, man? That video hits me all the time in my heart, man.
I like that. What are you expecting free agency-wise, Zompy?
I would like to see, I mean, in the free agency, I'd like to get a veteran linebacker, of course, you know. I would like to see, actually, Curtis Lawson. I know Atlanta just signed, not signed officially, but Lofa Tutupu, so hopefully, you know, that's a sign that Lawson's not going to stay, and he's going to hopefully sign with us. I mean, I know it's going to take a lot, but I like Lawson. You know, what was he, 5th or 8th in tackles?
Yeah, very productive there.
Yeah, I like him, but I want to just take care of, like, the veterans, obviously, in free agency, like, Plaxico Burress to me, I mean, would he help? Yes. But for the right price, I would do it. But in the draft, I want to really concentrate on free agency for the linebacker. I wouldn't mind getting a safety. I mean, I like our safeties. But if we have to get a veteran in here, that's fine. But during the draft, I would like to go after defensive tackle. I think like a Poe or a Cox, I think that would really help our squad.
Do you expect it to come quickly? You mean, do you think the Eagles are going to be active really quickly here?
No. Listen, I'm one of those that, you know, is more realistic. I don't expect anything, and you've been saying, nailing it on the head. I don't expect anything like last year. I would be very surprised if we don't even make a move, but I would definitely – how about this? If we just sign one player, and that's a linebacker that's productive, I'll be happy with it.
Okay.
I'll be fine with it.
Okay.
I mean, we don't have to go crazy. I mean, I would like to see if we could get a backup to Shady. You know, I mean, I'm a big Deion Lewis fan. I like Deion Lewis. But I'm saying, you know, back up to Shade or even maybe a fullback, I'd be all right with it. You know, I don't expect big things in free agency, but I'm definitely expecting a big-time linebacker to come in.
Okay. Zompy, well, it also the madness begins tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Yes, sir, but I got a question for you, Dave.
Yes, sir.
About Asante Samuel. There's no doubt about it. He's a pro bowler, very good player. He's a ball hawk. There's no doubt about it. But in my opinion, and I'm asking you if you agree or not, he does help this defense. There's no doubt about it. But do you think it limits a player like Nnamdi Asamoah to play man-to-man press coverage against the best receiver all over the field during the game?
It only if your coaches allow that to be a limit. I mean, the bizarre thing to me last year was that they just really didn't flip-flop sides at all. They really didn't give you a whole lot of different looks. It was,
yeah.
You know, not until the Eagles seemed to play a bit more aggressively in their coverage did you see the defense improve. So, I mean, Asante, look, I know I'm unrealistic, but to me, you play what the coach tells you to play. And Asante Samuel has never turned down, to my knowledge, an assignment. He's played what the coaches have told him to play. You play up, you play up. You play off, you play off.
Yeah, but you never see him. You never. What I'm trying to say is, if the best receiver is lining up on the right, on the left side, I haven't seen Asante Samuel switch sides with Nnamdi all the time. He's always on that one.
Well,
side,
I mean,
left side.
I think Asante's coverage skills speak for themselves. I'm not sure you have to. I'm not sure you had to change sides necessarily. I just didn't like the fact that there wasn't a whole lot of. It didn't seem to appear to me. Now I could be wrong. A lot of different looks. Just didn't seem to be a lot of different looks. I'm fine if Asante Samuel is your left cornerback. No problem. But I like to see him in press coverage a little bit more. That's my point.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what I agree. But one more thing before I go. I could be on here all day long.
Okay.
I just want to say it was a great job by the Eagles organization. I must say. I know a lot of people bash and they say we got to sign this player and Andy Reid does this and Howard Rosen does this. I must comment on saying that they did a very good job with this Kevin Cobb trade. I mean, look at the situation. They're trying to acquire Peyton Manning. We got rid of Kevin Cobb, and we got a Pro Bowler in Dominic Rodgers-Camara, and I must commend
who's another? He's in the last year of his contract, I believe. Another. Hey, thanks for the call, Zompster.
Okay, take care.
You know, in the future, when you look down the line here, what do you do with Dominic Rodgers-Camara? Do you want to sign him long term? And you've got the second round draft pick this year for it. So yeah, it was a great trade. Kevin Cobb sitting there watching the Cardinals actively go after Peyton Manning. It certainly is a very difficult situation for Kevin, who wants to find a spot and have a chance to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. To me, it's a little too early to write off Kevin. He just hasn't had the chance, but he's got to stay healthy. All right, let's go to Box in D.C. Hey, Box.
Dave, how's it going?
All right, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Good.
Welcome.
Got a couple questions for you.
Yes, please.
One is, I guess, what do you think about Landry and Dixon? I believe they're both free agents. And
Landry, and you're talking about LaRon Landry?
Yeah.
And who's the other one?
Hello?
Yeah, who's the other one?
Dixon Landry and Dixon.
Okay. I think the Eagles will make an offer to tender. They will tender Antonio Dixon, and I think that Derek Landry will have an opportunity to test the market.
Okay.
Yep.
Basically, you know, like if you could between the two, what would you choose?
Well, I see in Antonio Dixon a young, bigger, more explosive, potentially, defensive tackle who is hampered by, first of all, he came in last year out of shape. Inexcusable. I think personally with him being here the whole offseason rehabbing that shoulder, I believe it's a shoulder injury he had, going to work to his benefit. Derek Landry was incredibly productive, but he's a backup who is not going to just sign for backup chump change money. He wants to go see what's out there.
I mean, he played pretty good, you know.
Yes, he did.
I mean, I watched him in Notre Dame, so, I mean, he has some talent there, you know. I mean, I also was thinking about Brandon Graham and how effective you think he'll be. I mean, looks like he doesn't have much of a choice.
Well, I haven't seen Brandon, so Brandon's got to get in here.
Yeah.
When he shows up for the off-season conditioning program, we'll see what kind of shape he's in.
Like I said, I know it's a big year for him. I think he'll, you know, do relatively well working the rotation. Hopefully, you know, it'll be a good thing. I guess my next question is, I mean, as far as the O-line, I mean, how optimistic are we about signing Mathis? But I know, you've been talking about this today. But
yeah, I don't know.
How optimistic are you as, you know, working there? How optimistic
I think ultimately it will get done. But I'm a little nervous about it. Now, I don't think Evan Mathis is irreplaceable. You can go.
Me neither. Not at all. But he's definitely, you know, he's grown that camaraderie with the rest of the line, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he was a good fit. I believe very much in him. I believe very much in Howard Mudd. Ultimately, unless a team blows Evan Mathis away with a great offer, I think he'll be back. But there could be a team that does just that. There are several teams with needs for interior offensive linemen, and there are several teams with a lot of cap room.
So I think
he comes back, Box. I'm hopeful that he comes back, but I'm a little nervous about it. I admit that.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely understandable, you know.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, we have other needs on the team that need to be filled, so I understand completely.
Yeah. So, hey, thanks for the call, man. It all starts tomorrow. And, look, we're going to close things out here. We've been doing the film room all the way leading up, all the way through the off season into free agency. Here we go, the final of our film room studies. Of course, the position that's gotten the most attention from you, from the media, from everyone, what linebackers might be available in free agency, who would be a good fit? Let's go to the film room with Adam Kaplan and Greg Cosell.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to Film Room. In this segment, we're going to take a look at the linebackers. I'm Adam Kaplan. He's Greg Cosell. And Greg, you've studied the linebacker position for many years, but not every guy has got to be a first-round pick. You can get a guy in the third round, fifth round, undrafted free agent. And one guy we're going to look at now is Stephen Tulloch, who's a very good football player not a lot of people know a lot about.
No, and Tulloch is a perfect example of what you're talking about. I believe he's a third or fourth round pick out of NC State. I think he's a guy who is a middle linebacker, okay, played in Tennessee, and then last year he played in Detroit. And he was brought to Detroit for one reason, because he understood that defense, which was a wide nine, which I think we're familiar with that, the wide nine, and he understands how to play middle linebacker in the wide nine. Now, the first play we're watching is actually him being very athletic and making an interception, which is not necessarily his strength. But what he really brings to the table is he's a physical between the tackles run defender, and this style of defense demands that, because this kind of defense shrinks the field and shrinks everything inside, and you need your linebacker to be able to look at him right here. Look at him attack downhill immediately. Instincts in the run game. He's very, very good at that. And you can see, what do we got here? You got the wide nine. You got the defensive ends wide.
Yeah, yep,
you got the tackles inside. You got the stacked linebackers inside. You got Tulloch reading and playing instinctively. That's what he does. That's Stephen Tulloch to a T.
And when we go around and look at the linebackers, Greg, not everyone is 6'4", 250. You know, today's linebacker, Greg, they got to do a lot. They could play inside. They could play outside. Positional versatility seems to be very big at linebacker. And we take a look at the next guy. Jolon Dunbar is a great story. A guy who was not drafted. A guy who's played strong side. He's played the middle. In fact, Greg, he started last year for the Saints for an injured John Vilma, and he played pretty well.
Yeah, he's a Boston College Eagle, and he's a perfect example of what you're talking about, Adam. He's a guy, when you look at him on tape in college, you probably felt he just, ability-wise, was a notch below. But he's a guy who's come into the league, shown tremendous versatility. He's basically played every linebacker position for the Saints. Mm. And he's played both in their base package. There's been times he's played in their nickel package. But I think Dunbar is one of those guys that's a contributing player. And I think right here you see him in the middle. You see him react, come and make a play. Here he's playing in the middle when Vilma was hurt. I think he's a classic case of a guy who brings great versatility to your defense. Maybe he's not a 16-game starter,
right,
but he can be a very good package player, and we know that that's what the game is now. And maybe this is the theme of our linebackers segment, that you're dealing with situational players. There are not that many Brian Urlachers in the league
every
anymore.
Down guys.
Guys
right.
who play every down. So it becomes who can be a functional substitution situation player and play in your packages and be an effective player. And I think Dunbar fits that role.
Got it. And that's really what it is with these players. They're young guys who have kind of gotten their roles earlier in the career and they continue to get better. And we're going to take a look at another guy that not a lot of people talk about. David Hawthorne is one of my favorite players.
Yep.
Nobody talks about this
yep.
guy. He's worked his way up. He's played strong side in the middle, Greg. What does he bring to the table?
Well, he's really Dunbar, and I think Hawthorne's a better player. Hmm. I think Hawthorne does a lot of the same things Dunbar does in terms of versatility, in terms of his ability to play multiple linebacker positions. I think he's a better mover than Dunbar. So I think this kid brings you the same kind of versatility in various packages. I think this kid can be a starting linebacker in the NFL. Now, he wouldn't necessarily be an all-pro, but I think he can be a quality starting NFL linebacker and play and be multiple in his position play, but he certainly can play in your packages. And I think this kid is a very intriguing player. He moves a little better than you think. And, I mean, look at him right
here.
He's
dropping there. Right.
Look at him dropping right here
Looks
into
smooth.
Coverage. He's reading the quarterback. He understands the route. See, this is a really interesting play because he understands that this route is behind him. Look at him slide with it. Took a peek back, saw the route, made a great play. I like this kid. I think he's a very intriguing player, and I think he gives you great versatility as a linebacker.
Yeah, and again, David Hawthorne's another great example. You don't have to be drafted on the first day of the draft. You could be an undrafted free agent like so many of these guys. Right now, we're going to take another look at another guy that I like. Now, this guy is a little bit higher. We're going to take a look at Atlanta Falcons linebacker Curtis Lofton. And you know what's interesting with this guy? Started almost every game for this football team.
Yeah.
He's been durable, smart football player. What does he bring to the table?
Well, he's a three-down player. I think he's a good player. I think Lofton, he's the middle linebacker. I believe he's the signal caller. I think he's a guy who does everything well and nothing spectacular. But he's their middle linebacker. He's a very solid, consistent player week after week, snap after snap. He's just one of those guys, you can put him out there. He's number 50 right here in the middle of the screen, flows to the run, very good play. You know, this is what you want from your middle linebacker. You want him to be able to flow down the line of scrimmage, make plays in the run game. I think Lofton is a complete player, just not a spectacular player.
But he's got good size. Looks like
yeah,
he's got...
You know, it's funny. I remember studying him when he came out of Oklahoma, and I thought he moved a lot better. People were telling me he didn't move really well,
mm-hmm.
and you know me, Adam. I watch my own tape, and I
exactly.
make my own decisions.
Right.
And I thought he moved a lot better than people thought. Not explosive. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not, and I mentioned Urlacher a moment ago. He's not Urlacher when Urlacher was in his prime. He doesn't quite move like that. But you see here on this interception, he moves pretty well, and I think he's a three-down player.
Greg, and there's a guy that you really like. I remember you telling me that this guy might not get drafted, might go late, but Wesley Woodyard of the Denver Broncos is what we call a scheme versatile guy. Greg, talk about Wesley Woodyard.
Well, you know, it's funny. He came out of Kentucky, and I watched him on film, and he's very light. You know, he almost looked like a safety playing linebacker in college, but I loved the way he played. I thought he was quick. I thought he had good instincts, and I think he's a guy who plays the pass extremely well. He's got good movement. I mean, you can see him just by looking at his body type, and he's going to come up here and make the tackle. He's not a big guy. But if you're looking in the NFL today, what